carrying all my burdens up here. A warm welcome again to those of you who are new, who are here for the first time. Our brother from all the way from, is it Tanzania? Yes, welcome again. And our sister from Nigeria, welcome. Those of you who are visiting us again, it's wonderful to see you. And happy birthday, Pastor Denise. Yes, good to see you, my brother. Thank you for coming this morning. Today we'll continue in the book of Acts. I'm wearing a cross here because I was looking for something last night, and I found it. It's a gift from my little girl to me a few years ago. It's a reminder that God's redeeming work for a Fijian young man. I'm going to read to us from Acts chapter 17. I'll start from verse 16. While Paul was waiting for them in Athens, that was he was greatly distressed. Sorry, you're getting old. Greatly distressed to see the city was full of idols. So he reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews and the God-fearing Greeks, as well as in the marketplace day by day with those who happened to be there. A group of Epicurean and Stoic philosophers began to dispute with him. Some of them asked, "What is this babbler trying to say?" Others remarked, "He seems to be advocating a foreign god." They said this because Paul was preaching the good news about Jesus and the resurrection. Then they took him and brought him to a meeting, the Areopagus, where they said to him, "May we know what this new teaching is that you are presenting? You are bringing some strange ideas to our ears, and we want to know what they mean." All the Athenians and the foreigners who live there spend their time doing nothing but talking about and listening to the latest idea. Paul then stood up in the meeting of the Areopagus and said, "Men of Athens, I see that in every way you are very religious. For as I walk around and look carefully at your objects of worship, I even found an altar with this inscription to an unknown god. Now, what you worship as something unknown, I am going to proclaim to you. The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth and does not live in temples built by hands. He is not served by human hands, as if he needed anything, because he himself gives all men life and breath and everything else. From one man he made every nation of men that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he determined the time set for them and the exact places where they should live. God did this so that man would seek him and perhaps reach out to him and find him, though he is not far from each of us. For in him we live and move and have our being." Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Encourage us today, enlighten us, challenge us, and help us to respond to be doers of your word. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. A few years ago, many, many years ago, I remember in Fiji, we have a lot of Hindu population. And then I think I was 15 or 14 at that time. So every morning, I would wake up, walk past the Hindu temple next to our house, and go and buy bread, fresh bread from the bakery. One morning, on my way, I know the priest there. We talk sometimes. We would go as kids and help him in his garden. And one day, I was walking past. Early in the morning, I saw this Hindu priest, you know, just trying to scramble through the bushes. Distressed look in his face. I stood there and watched. He was looking for something. And then, so I call out in Hindi, hello, and what's wrong? He said, I can't find it. He was saying a lot of bad things about some people. Well, the story goes, that night, some hooligans, maybe some young people there, they broke into the temple and just mess up the whole place. So I said, what are you looking for? He said, Julie, I'm looking for my God. Somebody took my God. Can you help me? So I went, okay, all right, I'll look for your God. So we were going through, and there was a hand of his God there. And there's bits and pieces. I'm sorry, these stupid kids. But I never forget that experience. That a Hindu priest, that I was helping him to find his God in the bushes. I want to begin that story in order to begin with us what I would like for us to go through today. Here we see, I'm not an expert, we have a lot of experts here, but the Word of God is, here is in Athens, in Greece. And fascinating as I was looking at this, I want to see Paul physically. I just want to go and hug him and say to Paul, you are the man. Yeah? This man is fearless. So when Paul enters the gate to Athens, Athens was already 1,000 years in history of his glory. A city is famous with arts and all these things. One of the main thing about Athens is the center of intellect. It's the leading philosophical arena at that time. So Paul came into an intellectual city. Not only an intellectual city, but a city that is so proud of their pagan heritage. We read there that Paul was walking around, observing carefully the city, and what stood out that he see many idols, many shrines, many places of worship. And it says, historians says that there are more idols in Athens at that time than the whole Greece put together. If you walk in town, you meet more idols and gods than any man. That's fascinating, yeah? So today's visitors, when we go there or see pictures We see all the wonderful, spectacular history of Athens. But we forgot that this city marveled in its worship and sacrifice of pagan and worship of gods that are not gods. As I said, that Athens was the center of intellect. There were two rival groups there. It's working. If you can interpret that. So Paul, entering a different territory, a territory that the philosophers at that time were the one that shaped the mind and mold the mind and the sphere. They were in the sphere of influence of that society. They have followers. People marvel at their intellect and their philosophy and the new ideas. They have people giving to them. They would go to the marketplace and speak and challenge people, influence people to follow them, or people who will adopt the concept of their philosophy choose to adopt those things that would influence their direction, their decision, and everything about their life. So that was Athens. So when Paul entered, he was entering into a whole different domain. Paul saw something. So while he was waiting for Silas and Timothy, he was greatly distressed to see the city was full of idols or given over to idolatry. Many translations in Greek could interpret that he was provoked. Was greatly distressed. Let me see if something else there. Yep. He was provoked. Something happened to him. Something stimulated him, irritated him, roused him. It's a mixture of grief and indignation. Why? Maybe because Paul saw the idols and see the creation of God, created in his image, giving honor and glory to something other than the Creator himself. And also we see in the Old Testament, and also remember in Mount Sinai, when Moses came down and he saw the people worshiping the calf, the idols, there was this rage and jealousy. That's the word. Paul felt that. Something stirred within him and set the platform for him to preach the gospel. There's something here is not right. I have to do something. I have the gospel, I have the good news, and I need to proclaim this. This sense of, I remember, I think all of us in the scripture, that God proclaimed himself, that I am a jealous God. When I was a kid, I used to ponder, how can God be a jealous God? I've never worshipped God in the Jesus, thank you, you are jealous. Huh? It's hard to, but he said that he was, that he is a jealous God. He's not jealous of us because we have something he don't have. And that's the way Paul felt. I love my wife. I am a rugby player. I can take people in the field. And every morning, I'm just giving you an illustration, that I hug my wife. She look at me, I look at her, said, I love you. And then later on, I learned that her affection is towards somebody else. What do you think will happen to me? I will try to go counseling. I will try to do some prayer. I will call my friends, you know. That you know when your loved one, the one you love, then you realize that her heart is towards somebody else. When God says, I'm jealous, yeah? It is a zeal that will make him fight at any cost to protect his love relationship with us. Paul, this was what came from him. It's a zeal to see that the incredible creation of God, worshiping, giving homage and glory to idols and gods, they are not at all God. Paul, he saw and he felt something. Did he just go and talk to his friend, this city, man, we need to get out of here. These people, something's wrong with them. There was this motivation. This springs up within him. I have to do something. He goes to the marketplace, the center of it all. All the trade and commerce were happening there. And there he meet the crowd. And this is where the philosophers would come. This school of intellect, these rivals of philosophy, come from these wonderful universities, and they would there and talk and exchange ideas. So Paul went right there, in the midst of the beehive, opened his mouth, and start preaching the gospel. I was reading this, my heart was racing. What a person. Keep time with my watch. And that's when Paul opened his mouth and proclaimed. As we read there, he was asked, he was brought up by these top philosophers. They gather around where they normally gather some of the council, influential leaders who have helped preserve the culture, preserve the pride, protect the idols, and make sure that nobody is forcing in a new idol or a new god into what's already there. So they're people of power. And he said, come here, Paul. You are saying something. We are curious to what you're trying to say. And there lay the foundation, the platform for Paul to proclaim. The wonderful thing that Paul did, he didn't just come and preach right away. He recognized their zeal. These people are very zealous. I remember in the history of my people back at home, we have many gods. We have Dakuanga, the god of the sea. We have Denge, the god of war. And the all other gods. And so people would pray to these gods. So for descendants continue to following that path. But in the back of their mind, that we from the islands, we are already spiritual people. We know the existence of the supernatural, but we do not know this deity up there somewhere. When the gospel came to Fiji, all the people, the chiefs, say, "This is what we've been waiting for. This is the God that we've been waiting for. We do not know him. We do not know how to connect to him." So now the missionaries came and they proclaimed the gospel. They said, "This is what we've been waiting for all along. A deity that is more powerful than others." So from being a heathen, full of war, witchcraft, cannibalism, the gospel transformed the nation, not just individual people, whole nation came to know the Lord. And now, hundreds of years later, see these young Fijian people taking the gospel from this tiny little island to the rest of the world. And that is what God is doing to all of us, all nations. So he started. "Men of Athens, I see that you are very religious in every way. Even found an altar with this inscription to an unknown God." And then he began, "The God who made the world back in the beginning." It's so powerful. Talk about God, the sustainer of life, that God is not separated from us. He is involved and engaged in the affairs of man. He's the ruler of all nations. God is the Father. He's also the judge that is call us to repentance and move away from the false God. We've heard this. We've read it many times. The challenge that Paul has. I was thinking the other day, you know, as we pray for Syria, pray for the world events, pray for all these things, I have friends who say, "Julie, I don't know what to believe anymore." That we are in existence at this time as a church. That God has called us to stand and to proclaim his message. There are people out there who are searching, looking. Paul's motivation he saw something. He felt something. And he spoke. I remember one day I went to one particular electronic shop here in Stavanger. I asked for a speaker for my keyboard. And then it didn't work. When I went home, I tried, it didn't work. So I took it back to the shop. And I said, "This speaker doesn't work. I would like to have my money back." And the shopkeeper said, "We can't give your money back. You have to choose something else." I said, "No, this is what I wanted. You gave me what I asked for, and it didn't work. So I would love for you to, you know, just open your cash register and give me back my money." "I can't do that." So I stood there and I said, "Listen, that wasn't my problem. So I was trying my best to be nice, be a nice Christian, and, you know, don't raise the tone of my voice. And I said to him, you know, trying to fight my cause there, listen, it wasn't my fault. You gave me something that doesn't work. So now I'm handing it back to you. And if you could give me kindly my money back, I will be very happy. And then his voice started getting louder. And then, I said, it's okay, you can call your boss. I just want my money back. And then suddenly, he said, but you are a pastor. You're not supposed to get angry. You know, I wasn't angry. I was trying to get you my point. Just give me my money. You know, pastor not supposed to get angry. Christian not supposed to get angry. Huh? And he said, well, I'm a pastor. Another word for pastor, we are shepherds. Okay, in my country, we pastors are called warriors. Huh? Pastors are called warriors. You know why? We have to protect the sheep. If a lion and somebody want to take advantage of my sheep, I will be the first one there on the front line to protect them. Okay. Yeah, we are warriors. We're not just sitting in the office cross-legged. Yeah? Have a nice computer in front of us. We're shepherds. We fight for the people who needs us. Yeah? Look at me. Do I look like a pastor? And I said, and that's what I meant. He said, okay, but don't worry. Okay, this is your... Thank you. Are we good? Yes, we're good. He's still my friend today. But sometimes we need to stand as Christians for injustice. Not just shrink back. Yeah? We need to let God's principles come out of our mouth and proclaim that to the world, that it works. I'm not just a Christian. Okay, we'll just take my money. I'm a good Christian, and then I go home and I ponder about it all the time. Sometimes, like Paul, something moved in him. He saw the worship that's supposed to go to the one true God has been diverted to gods who are not gods. And that's true. People who don't believe in God, I really believe, people who reject the one true God, will always come up with something to worship, no matter what. The idols are not just idols in many, many thousands of years ago. There are idols here in our society. Idols is something that substitute God. They take God's place. A person or a thing or object or whatever. I was discussing this with a friend of mine. In the Indian reservation in Canada a few years ago. Just like our culture. And I said to him, you know, whatever you worship, ultimately, you are going to serve. Whatever idols that we have, we will serve. Because worship, Jesus said in the mountains of temptation, when Satan said, if you bow down and worship me, I will give you everything. Jesus said something. He said, for it is written, yeah, away from me, Satan, it is written, you should worship the Lord and what? and serve him only. The more we worship something, ultimately we are going to serve. The more mankind worship whatever they worship, they will commit themselves to that thing. Is a person or anything else. Fiji, we are well known in rugby. When I was a kid, I have rugby posters all over my little wooden room. These are my heroes. I adore them. I honor these people. And then one day, I was playing, and I was climbing up the ladder of success in my rugby sports days. And one day, when I was right in the verge to break into the topest level, I felt in my heart that God was reminding me to lay it down. Because it has become, I didn't know at that time, but I never realized how much the social life, the way of thinking, everything that surrounds this sport, the pride, the arrogance, are beginning to take shape in my life. I begin to put on the identity on the very thing that I treasure, that has become my idol, has begun to shape me. The way I think, the way I talk, my perspective of God begin to get dim, faded. I have begun to embrace a new identity, new value. I've learned the humor of others that are unclean. I've heard when they make mockery of Christianity, I feel no, I participated in that. And then suddenly I put a stop and said, where am I going? What has taken me? With much humility and brokenness, I came before the Lord and asked for his mercy that I have created myself my own shrine. I'm still involved in rugby today, but it's part of my ministry. But I was able to recognize that through God's conviction and realize how much I have idolized the path that I was taking. What is your idol? Is there something that God is calling you and asking you to lay down? Sometimes our ideologies can be our idol. Our work of fame, wealth, and power, food, alcohol, sometimes our children, sometimes our church, religion, even our church can be an idol. Our preferences, anything that we are insisting but that doesn't bring glory to God, that we pay attention to. Amen? What is your idol? What is our idol? But also, outside these four walls, we can see idols. What do you see outside? What do you see in our social community life? What do you see with the voices and ideas that are forcing themselves, that are popping up here and there, that makes the Christian shiver and handicap? I worry what I say because I might be attacked or this and that. Paul wasn't worried. Our world needs to know that unknown God. They need to know that the way to that God is reconciliation through repentance, is reconciliation through recognizing what Jesus did on the cross for us. Do we see the way Paul sees, when you see that the community and society are taking much more glory, honor to God, that are not God, than the Creator himself? That's the challenge for us. He saw. What do you see? What do I see? He felt. What compels you? And he spoke. Jesus said, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written that you should worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Are we willing to lay down and identify? That's a challenge for us to take today. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we give thanks to you. The world is calling out to explain this unknown God. Like Paul, that we are called. Help us as Christians, as a church. Help us as your people. In our own personal way. In our own corporate way, as a church, the body of Christ. That you will fill us and empower us with your Holy Spirit. That we will never be afraid and be courageous, but also be wise and be sensitive in how we can be an influence to the society, to our community, to the people around us. Forgive us as a church where we have gone wrong. Forgive us as your people. Help us to be like Paul. In your name we pray. Amen. Oh, okay. Some of you briefly probably heard that there's a team that is going from SIC to Canada.